305 Americans were already dead when their social security numbers went on collecting pandemic relief checks. $38 million worth, confirmed, not estimated, matched line by line against the Treasury Department's own death records. That's the smallest number in this story. The biggest is $79 billion, and the federal government's own watchdog says a single missing box on a form is most of the reason it happened. You're listening to Civic Intelligence, the show that goes through the federal government's own audits so you don't have to. Tonight, how one of the largest identity fraud estimates in American history came out of Washington, and why a year of prosecutions and suspensions has clawed back only pennies of it. On June 4, 2025, the federal government's own pandemic watchdog published the largest identity fraud estimate in the history of American relief spending. The Pandemic Response Accountability Committee, call it PRAC, is not an outside advocacy group. It's the statutory oversight body Congress built into the CARES Act to police roughly $4.5 trillion in pandemic programs, staffed by federal inspectors general and chaired, from April 2020 until February 2026, by Michael E. Horowitz, the longtime Justice Department Inspector General. PRAC's finding: roughly $79 billion in COVID disaster loans, Paycheck Protection Program loans, and pandemic unemployment benefits went to applications built on about 1.4 million Social Security numbers that failed the most basic check the Social Security Administration could run. Was the number real? Did the name and birth date match? Was the person even alive? Here's how careful PRAC was with that number. It pulled a random sample, 662,000 identity records out of 67.5 million funded applications, and asked the Social Security Administration to verify them. 23,854 failed. Projected across every application those programs funded, that failure rate becomes 1.4 million Social Security numbers and $79 billion. PRAC is careful to call this a population estimate of potentially fraudulent payments, not a courtroom tally. But the sample was random, and the verification was run by the one agency that actually holds the records, the Social Security Administration. The Paycheck Protection Program carried the worst of it. More than $55 billion of the $79 billion, PRAC's executive director, Kenneth Diefenbach, told the Washington Examiner. That's roughly 7% of everything the program ever lent, lost to nothing more sophisticated than an identity nobody checked. This data analytics capability can strengthen program integrity and prevent billions of dollars in fraud, Horowitz said the day the alert dropped. Notice the tense. Could, not did. $79 billion didn't appear out of nowhere. It's the top rung of a ladder PRAC had been building for 2.5 years, and each rung measures something different. Start at the bottom. On January 30, 2023, PRAC's first Social Security number alert reported $5.4 billion paid on applications using 69,323 potentially stolen or invalid numbers. That wasn't a projection. That was a count of real records matched against Social Security Administration files. A floor, not an estimate. The next rung came about 4 months later. PRAC ran 20,404 of those flagged numbers through the Treasury Department's Do Not Pay system and found 15,307 of them belonged to people already dead, confirming that $38 million had been paid on applications carrying the Social Security numbers of 305 deceased people. Again, matched records, not a model. Then, in May of 2025, a different kind of lie surfaced. Income. P PRAC found more than 40,000 instances, worth more than $860 million in Paycheck Protection Program loans, where the income an applicant reported to the Small Business Administration was at least 10 times what that same person told the Department of Housing and Urban Development. One example the watchdog cited: $100,000 claimed to one federal agency, $600 claimed to another. Same person, same year. 4 weeks later, the flagship $79 billion alert scaled the whole picture up. The 2023 alerts counted the fraud analysts could see with their own eyes. The 2025 alert estimated the fraud the entire population implied. Floors first, then the ceiling. And here's the part that should embarrass everyone involved. The fix was not complicated. Catching a stolen Social Security number requires two things: a form that asks for a date of birth, and a data sharing agreement letting the paying agency check that birth date against the Social Security Administration before the money goes out, not years after. Some pandemic relief applications didn't even collect a date of birth. No verification agreement was in place, regardless. You don't need a moonshot to stop this kind of fraud. You need one form field. Washington skipped it in the name of speed, and speed cost roughly 1.8% of $4.5 trillion in pandemic spending, by PRAC's own math. Enforcement is real, and it names names. More than 3,000 defendants had been charged with pandemic relief fraud by December 2024. On April 8, 2026, the Justice Department's National Fraud Enforcement Division, under Assistant Attorney General Colin McDonald, staged a single coordinated nationwide prosecution day covering more than $260 million in stolen taxpayer money. Leon Haynes was convicted and sentenced to 12 years, ordered to repay more than $55 million after attempting more than $170 million in fraudulent claims. In Atlanta, Ring operators Aaron Winrose and Agbure got 17 years and 57 months for a scheme that applied for more than $90 million and actually stole $7.6 million. A Tampa defendant, Barnwell, drew 2 years. And one defendant charged that same day, Scott A. Taylor, is only indicted. The charges are allegations, and under the law, he is presumed innocent unless and until convicted. The rot reached the gatekeeper itself. In July of 2025, the Social Security Administration's own Inspector General announced the indictment of Tiffany Foster, an SSA employee, on charges tied to Paycheck Protection Program loans and unemployment benefits. She, too, is presumed innocent. But the agency whose records could have stopped $79 billion in fraud allegedly employed a participant in it. That fact speaks for itself. "We will find you and bring you to justice for the American people," McDonald said that day. A promise made about a year after the alert that made the promise necessary. The administrative side is moving faster than any courtroom. On July 8, 2026, the Small Business Administration under Republican Administrator Kelly Loeffler suspended 7,800 Wisconsin borrowers tied to $375 million in suspected fraud, after already suspending roughly 6,900 Minnesota borrowers linked to about $400 million. The agency has referred $22 billion across 562,000 suspect loans to the Treasury Department for collection. Loans that, according to Fox Business reporting, the previous administration had simply declined to chase. Even the watchdog's chair changed hands. William Bill Kirk, sworn in as the Small Business Administration's Inspector General on January 6, 2026, became PRAC's chairman on March 1st, succeeding Horowitz, who moved on to inspect the Federal Reserve and the Consumer Bureau instead. And Washington gave the hunt a face. In early April of 2026, President Donald Trump, a Republican, named Vice President J.D. Vance, also a Republican, the administration's self-described fraud czar, leading a government-wide task force. In a post reported by Fox News and Time, Trump put it this way: Vice President J.D. Vance is now in charge of fraud in the United States. We will call him the fraud czar, primarily in those blue states where crooked Democrat politicians, like those in California, Illinois, Minnesota, Maine, New York, have had a free-for-all in the unprecedented theft of taxpayer money. Republican Senators Rand Paul of Kentucky and Joni Ernst of Iowa were more measured, but just as alarmed in a joint statement. What PRAC has discovered is deeply disturbing. The extent of the fraud could be far greater. Ernst's office puts the entire suspected paycheck protection and disaster loan fraud universe at roughly $200 billion, meaning the $79 billion identity slice sits inside that number, not stacked on top of it. The time to act is now, Dieffenbach told the Washington Examiner. The federal government must apply and build on the lessons learned from our pandemic oversight. Here's where the accounting actually lands. The Government Accountability Office, GAO, estimates $100 billion to $135 billion was stolen from pandemic unemployment programs alone. States have recovered about $6.8 billion of it, single-digit cents on the dollar. Another $912 million in fraudulent unemployment money sits frozen and identified in bank accounts, waiting on Congress to actually pass the authority to reclaim it. The $22 billion referred to Treasury is a referral, not a recovery. The federal government paid a projected $79 billion to applications its own records could have flagged, including $38 million confirmed paid in the names of 305 dead people, because relief programs skipped a date of birth field and a data sharing agreement that already existed to write. Three fraud alerts, one fraud czar, a $260 million prosecution day, and nearly 15,000 suspended borrowers later, the money that's actually come back still rounds to single-digit cents on the dollar. The fraud took months. The statute of limitations runs to 2031. The track record says most of it never comes home.
That's the show. The print version of this story carries 23 sources: PRAC's own fraud alerts, Justice Department and Small Business Administration releases, a Government Accountability Office audit, and named reporting from the Washington Examiner and Fox Business, with every figure linked to the primary document. Check every source for yourself at civicintelligence.news. And if this is the kind of accountability journalism you want in your feed, subscribe wherever you're listening right now.